The podcast people never know. Welcome back to the podcast, the Rock Leaky Podcast, that talks about news of the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan. For the first time week.
That's right. We have. It's been a while since we talked to you all. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you guys are surviving the stank heat wave. Also, happy June. It's still Pride Month. Alex donning the Pride colors. Thank you very much. Rowan and I surviving the stank heat wave of the East Coast. It's disgusting.
It's
don't
horrible.
Go outside. Don't go outside. I mean, that's good advice in general. Just, but still, don't do it, especially now.
Don't wear jeans outside.
I'm glad that there is context.
if you go into work today and you have to wear like khakis or jeans or something, and like your boss is like, oh, you have to
have a uniform,
but they're like, yeah, it's 100 degrees outside, I'm wearing shorts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone just joined and Rowan's like, don't wear pants.
Yeah. Let's be honest, the podcast has unfortunately had worse quotes. Unfortunately, we've had to read. Thank you all so much for joining us right now. However, with all of you in here, please hit the like button. If we get to 50 likes, we'll play around a festival rock or flop where we book a random festival. It's always fun and usually weird. Sometimes it's terrible, but it's always, always entertaining. Also, special thing for tonight. YouTube is having some issues on the back end. It's been a while since this has happened. What that means is I cannot see normally how super chats come in on like with the chat and the back end of broadcasting. So if you give any super chats this week, not only will you give a $10 super chat, you get your own random festival, but we will read it right away instead of waiting till the end. This is just to make sure we don't miss anything. So if you have a crazy one-liner or a funny zinger that you want us to read, we'll do it right away for you. This week only, because YouTube screwed up. Someone just said it's hot as cheeks in Tennessee. Well, then, your weatherman has some weird terminology for his reports on during the week. Oh, Bob, it's hot as cheeks down here in Chattanooga. Okay, that's my weatherman attempt. All right, enough of the shenanigans. This week, I blame the heat wave for all the crap that's happened this week and the drama and the inner turmoil, because it's not just one band. No, we got a list of them, of bands that have really been going at it with each other, like internally. So the big thing for this week that just broke today, or at least was discovered today, Brent Hyde isn't going back to Mastodon anytime soon. I'm going to phrase this politely, boomer quotes from not a boomer. Boy, did he get it. Super chat from Homeschooled Punk. Thank you so much. Really love the podcast. Hey there. Can't stay for the live stream, but wanted to ask what bass each of you play. Also, I'll let you know what I think of the festival tomorrow. We actually are all bassist and we are all Skektr players. And that is not a joke. We kind of found that randomly. So
it was really funny.
Yeah.
Skektr Stiletto.
When I first applied for to be a part of this, that was actually like that was in the criteria. Do you play bass?
What make and model as well? We have to know specifics.
Skektr Custom 4. And fun fact, I have a 4-string, but because I play metal, I play in B standard, so it's B-E-A-D instead of E-A-D-G.
My bass is actually a little bit dropped lower for my middle band.
Oh, yes. You know, I need those breakdowns.
Yes. No, we will not make a tri-bass band, though that would be funny.
it's like the Spinal Tap like joke where it's like where they're all playing bass. Let's just do that.
Well, we have to go to the guitarist now. Back to Brett Hines and his shenanigans. Also, thank you again for that super chat from Homeschool Punk. Brett Hines, we thought, correct me if I'm wrong, because we talked about this when it happened. We thought it was an amicable part, right? We thought like it was just at least somewhat mutual. Mastodon made a statement and it was somewhat peaceful. It wasn't that chaotic or hostile, right?
Which is like, oh, yeah. Didn't work out.
And that's fine. And he had been with the band for 20 something years. It just things happen. You're with a band, same job for 20 something years. As long as I've had a career was 9 years, let alone a job, you know? So turns out he's a little more upset because after the Mastodon quote, one, someone commented on one of his posts saying, Halloween is definitely my number one track on the record. Definitely going to miss Brent Hines, though. Brent Hines responded to that with the quote on the screen that I'm going to share with my friends right now. Sorry, I forgot to share the screen with all of you. Da-da-da-da. Share your screen. This is what happens when I have like one thing I forget. I forget everything else too. It just all goes out the window. Let me know if you guys can see my screen.
Yep, we're good.
Okay. Brett Hines responded with that fan at talking about the track Halloween. I won't miss being in a crap band with horrible humans. First of all, he misspelled won't with want. Second of all, I censored that for YouTube. Third of all, this is a boomer cringe message. I know he's not a boomer, and I know he's a more talented musician than I will ever be. Fine. This is some straight boomer cringe on Instagram. Apparently, Mr. Hines thinks the rest of the members that he's worked with for decades are horrible humans and Mastodon sucks. That's the news. That's what we got now.
Yeah.
Any thought?
Do we just start giving our thoughts?
Yeah. Alex, any thoughts on mutual parting and not burning bridges lessons from Brent Hines?
No, don't take any from Brent Hines. Do not. This is not amicable, it seems, we are learning today.
Man, not expected. Rowan, anything?
It's kind of like weird. It feels like there had to be more turmoil, by the way, because he's been like gone now for like, what, 2 months, roughly? And only now he's
that's
like,
fair. Let's say two. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
maybe
like where it's like he's now kind of just being like, he's now kind of like, you know, throwing punches.
That's super passive aggressive. Just replying to a random comment, a fan comment on Instagram.
The guy's
that's
comment
lame.
Was just so it was so like it was just so unwarranted.
It was nice. You know, it was polite. It was nice and polite, though. And also I want to say the guy that has the Shockmaster image, Strangers from the Sun, he followed up. Love the way you shred and write, dude. Looking forward to whatever you got cooking. Praise emoji. He's still trying to be nice, even though
yeah.
Brent Hines is literally angry, grumble man right now.
Whatever Brent is going through, you know, he had to be sitting on that for a while. Just come out of the nowhere. Yes. I hate these guys. And by the way,
that was
a thing where, oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it seems super uncalled for on this fan. Like, yes. You're going to break this news that you're super upset and you think these guys suck on a fan message. Like, oh, I love you so much.
Have any of you guys ever done a meet and greet with an artist?
Not like a standard one.
Okay, that's fine. That's
never
fine.
Waiting in line to meet.
Okay, and that's fine. Just you've seen them though. You know what they are. Just imagine someone waiting in line to meet a musician, and you said, "I'm just such a big fan. I just always wanted a picture with you." Someone does. My band sucks. And then you start complaining and ranting off. This is what this would be like. What the heck happened?
Like, holy crap, Brent Hines replied to me. Oh yes, man, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's how you finally got a favorite guitarist attention. This is what you get.
Yeah, that sucks. Like, oh, I love Mastodon. The guitars are Mastodon. F Mastodon.
Wow, Brent Hines responded to me. Yeah. Like, and again, the hats off to that guy also. He could have like jumped in or tried to make things worse. No, he was still super positive. So,
you know
what?
We're not even say anything at all.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would have not been anything. I'm like,
I would have been like, yeah,
cool.
I know.
Yeah.
So, Mastodon is going through like different guitarists for a permanent one. They had someone fill in like a YouTube guitarist. So it was great. Not permanently though. They're on a second one right now. They're still trying to find a permanent guitarist. We don't know what that'll be yet. It will not be Brent Hines, apparently. This is one of two things that's going to happen. One, this is a Guns N' Roses situation where members say, we'll never be back together. This is never going to happen. A few years later, they're back and they're hugging each other. Or two, it really does stay this toxic and more things come out. Both suck. It sucks that this happened. Yeah.
I do gotta say, when I saw like this, and now that I kind of like I'm thinking about like Brent's departure again, this what I'm about to say is completely speculative. Mm-hmm. Whenever like especially when I was like more following Mastodon, whenever I saw like Brent, like in interviews or just like on stage, I've seen like there's a couple of videos online where of him crashing out on stage or just kind of like being very erratic or very kind of like confrontational. It's just kind of like, or I hear other stories from other people. And I don't know. It's just like compared to what I hear from the rest of the band, I have like, how should I just say this? Like, you know, I feel like Brent is kind of like more, just kind of like more unpredictable, more erratic.
Wait a minute. Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and he always had a little bit of like ambivalence towards heavy metal. So that kind of you know, probably led to some strain, obviously, among the guys, because, you know, kind of part of it.
It's a groove metal band, too, where the actual groove, like the chugging, is really a big part of it. But wait a minute.
Didn't he say one time he wanted Mastodon to make a country album?
It was either, it was that or something else. Yeah, it was not like rock or metal. It was like something way out there. But wait a minute, guys. Are you saying the guy with the face tattoo of bullets on his forehead is erratic and confrontational and doesn't want to be with the band? Come on.
Didn't see that coming.
Are you saying he's hard to work with and doesn't control his thoughts and impulses very well?
He always seemed to have like a temper, or at least like more of a temper compared to the rest of the band. So
yes,
when I'm thinking about like how things probably went down, to be honest, I could more easily believe that Brent had issues and just kind of like, was just more stubborn about it.
Maybe. And I will say this. So the other guys in Mastodon are super mellow and nice. Like, they are the guys that'll just like start talking with you about sports or something. They don't care.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, like, again, like, we don't know the full details. So again, it was completely speculative. It's just more like,
I
could see Brent crashing out.
I just look at some of the original quotes. You know, it's amazing that we made it 25 years with the four of us. I mean, it's like being married to three other dudes, traveling the world, trying to stay the course and having everyone agree that we managed to do this long. I feel like that's a feat in itself. You can never replace any of us because we are the sum of four parts. Meanwhile, I want Miss being in a crap band with horrible humans.
How the turns have tabled.
Yes. My how the turntables. Correct. Thank you, Michael Scott. I don't know what to say about that. So it's such a disjoint, like a disconnect that I was not expecting. I was expecting silence after, because we haven't heard anything until now.
Do you think this may like serve as a catalyst for people to like get to kind of like elaborate more, like the other people in Mastodon or just people involved in Mastodon be like,
I hope that they'll just push on, find a new guitarist and make another album. I never, ever would have thought Mastodon being the drama band. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit that vibe at all. So especially when you see how long they've been together, like the ages of this, I'm going to try to do this live.
How sudden it seemed too, because like, even when it first got announced that Brent was like leaving, it just seemed like very, it just seemed very out of nowhere. Like, just didn't seem like there was a size that he was kind of like getting fed up with Mastodon, right?
Brent Hinds is 51 years old.
He's not the oldest person in the band. I think he's not. Bill is.
And when you look at this too, it's like, okay, and this is now where you're really taking your stand and like getting angry about stuff. All right.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the way to do it. And just the saying this on a fan comment is the part that really bothers me the most. It's like, come on.
Poor guy. I know he has the Shockmaster logo. I know it could be just nothing, but the fan was super nice. This was unwarranted for all this. It wasn't even like an interview at like a concert or a radio station or something. Random Instagram compliments. Definitely going to miss B. Hinds, though. I want Miss being in a crap band with horrible hues. I can't get over the wants either. Just the like,
talk about overreaction.
That's like, imagine you just put out a tweet or something like, oh yeah, Rust in Peace is my favorite album, and then like Dave Mustaine goes and like, I hate Metallica, I hate James.
Well, that actually does set that. I'd expect he probably does do that. So
I'm just saying it gives that level of energy where it's like, was not part of the conversation whatsoever. Why are you bringing this up?
It's a terrible but accurate and proper comparison. He's giving Dave Mustaine hate towards Metallica vibes on this.
Exactly.
That sucks. Yeah, I never would have put a Mastodon band member on that level.
You would have never compared.
No one would have. Come on. No one would have. Not a chance.
It's like, that's too far.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, like, amazing guitar player, chip on the shoulder. There you go. There's two things they have
I to guess. Well, we're going to move on to more band drama. Because another metal band that we love, they're having problems in the family. You guys remember when Chris Adler left, the drummer for Lamb of God, after 20 years? That was a big shock. He was the first one to leave, and they had been through everything. You name a drug and alcohol problem, it was in Lamb of God, and they all stuck through that. Chris Adler decided to leave. Well, apparently him and Willie still haven't talked since he left the band years ago. That's awful. And I get like
his family too.
Yeah. Like, brothers. Yeah. And they were brothers that worked together for that many years also. And musicians, not even spoken to each other over years. That's brutal. And I get that he left for a lot of different reasons. Like health was a part of it. Performing was a part of it. But I just can't imagine that was it. If you haven't even talked to your, let alone the band. Okay. But your own brother, you haven't talked to in years since, something's up. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
I hear more horror stories about like brothers or siblings working together and it doesn't work out. Do you think there's just like, it's gotta be just a thing where there's something about just working with your family and being on the road with them for so long and just always being around them. That can't always be good, right? Or that can't always like...
Yeah. I feel like if you have a certain dynamic out the gate, you should not join a band with your siblings. Like for me, with certain relationships, like with my siblings, I would know like, okay, if we go into a venture like this, I know that we'll stick it out. We'll have each other's backs. And I know that they're not going to act this way or this way in this kind of situation. If any of those answers came back and it was like, you know, my brother does have a little bit of an ego or something, then I'd be like, you know, I wonder if we really should start separate bands or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Together can like exasperate or even create some new issues that you didn't even have previously with your family.
Like, yeah. Like just to go for something like this, like one of the quotes and discussions about it, little while after he left Lamb of God, the drummer says it took him some time for his life to straighten out after the band split, and the dystonia diagnosis also forced him to relearn how to play. I'm able to do it well because he's a drummer, like it happened with his leg and stuff, but not some of the things I can do in Lamb. It's a relief not having to do those things because I was coming off stage really depressed about the shows we were having. So it's like self-performance issues, like how he's handling it physically. Those are legit reasons to want to leave. I don't get how that's a legit reason, though, if that was just it, to not talk to your own family or not talk to the band anymore. That's weird.
Yeah, like, that's wild.
Yeah, no, that's just like a thing where it's like, dude, it's like my health is physically like degrading. I physically cannot play what we play.
And again, like I've read two biographies from two members of Lamb of God. They went through everything, all the worst of low of lows for humanity, for them both having that. They could have helped him see through that. Go ahead, yeah. Alex. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You're good. I was going to say like everything was kind of unexpected for sure, obviously, because of what Chris Adler was going through. And the fact that he's said a couple of times that Willie wasn't even willing to like talk to him about it after this had happened. And after they were like, okay, we're going to, you know, part ways or whatever. That really makes me sad. Like you have your brother going through this. Yeah. You have your brother going through this thing where he's literally having to change his entire life and everything he's known. And you're not even willing to discuss these decisions and choices and circumstances with him. If that is true, that really sucks.
It does. And it's in the back of my mind, total speculation. It makes me feel like something else is up and I may never know. It still sucks. We laugh about the Brent Hines situation, how that was handled. Ha ha ha. This sucks. No, like we feel bad about this though.
Yeah. This is not pleasant.
No,
at
it's
all.
Not. And these are bands we enjoy.
Yeah.
My dog just came in. Just came in to check too. I agree, Ivan. I agree.
I'm thankful I got to see Lamb of God with the Adlers. That was a really fun show, but like, this is just like, the fact that we can only speculate that it's just like, yeah, I left the band and now my brother won't talk to me. Like that just paints him as like such a like very like evil like thing to do.
It's dark. It's very dark. And again, we don't know all the details. I definitely feel like there's more to this as a reason why years have gone and they haven't spoken to each other. Again, I don't know. You kind of hope. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And like, this is something where I really do hope things can get amended and like things can be fine. I feel like this is a situation which is more possible for everyone to reunite and get back together on the same page. Even if he doesn't play with them anymore, still be a part of the family and the band, you know, in spirit, things like that. Mastodon, they're going to do just fine. Lamb of God, I hope you get better. That's the score we're at with the podcast that rocked. I think we're all on the same page, right? Get better. Get better, everyone, with Lamb of God. We know you can figure things out one way or another. Mastodon, you just move on. You just move on. speaking of moving on, This is the worst segue. I'm sorry. I really shouldn't have done that. Speaking of moving on, a lot of people are asking Danny Warstop to move on from Asking Alexandria after Warped Tour. So
thanks for the Destiny reference.
You're welcome. And by the way, I would just like to point out, I did not see this performance at Warped Tour. I left before then. If you remember, that night it rained heavily, and that's when Pooh River happened. So not only did a lot of people get to see a terrible Asking Alexandria performance, they had to leave through Pooh River. Yep, it just keeps getting worse. But the footage is all online. Not only cell phone footage, but like a lot of camera footage as well, like actual proper recordings. Not only did Danny Warstop perform head to toe in Rowan, how did you describe what Danny Warstop looks like?
If you have no problem with me reiterating it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so chat, I described Danny's like wardrobe to the others as how Kanye dressed when he went on Alex Jones. Like this, like these really big baggy clothes that feel almost comical. The fact that he's like trying to hide his face, it looks weird. And it reminds me of like when Kanye was first starting to go insane.
And by the way, have you two seen Asking Alexandria live?
Yes.
No.
Has he ever done anything like this before? I've seen him several times.
I've watched like clips of him live, and he's just normal.
He's just normal clothes. Yeah, he's just doing his thing. I've never seen this.
Like an outfit, but I don't understand why.
Yeah, and okay, aside from band issues and stuff like that, Danny Warstop has had a lot of issues over the years performing with Asking Alexandria, leaving, coming back, trying to figure out music and things like that. I don't know what's going on. What I do know is that the bassist for Asking Alexandria has apologized for Warped Tour's performance. That's how you know it's bad. And the accusation now, again, accusation, this does not mean proof, but that comments are being deleted on their socials about Danny's performance. And the other accusation is that it's Danny himself deleting them.
That's
rumor has it.
Like they can prove it. Yeah, they can prove if comments are deleted, but they can't really prove who's deleting them. Does that make sense?
I mean, like, honestly, I watched that whole performance. People have a right to be mad, in my opinion.
I
some songs were performed better than others, but then like they got to House on Fire, which was like halfway through the show. And my God, I was physically cringing listening to this. Also, you can like hear the backing track too, or not even the backing track. You can hear like the lead vocal studio track over like him. Like it's like how your drunk friend sings, like if he was doing Asking Alexandria karaoke. It's so bad.
I bring up this story. Gretchen can attest to this. Years ago, when I was we were still doing Welcome to Rockville. So this was the last time I saw them. Welcome to Rockville. I want to say 2019. I believe 2019, because Gretchen was there. Asking Alexandria performed. We had two photographer friends also, Jennifer and Garrett. I don't know if they'll ever see this, but hi, Jennifer and Garrett. They're doing well. He had never seen him, and he's a concert photographer too. Finally got in the pit, ready to shoot him. He walked back out, met up with Jennifer, Gretchen, and I. Goes, I didn't really care for that. That was lame. That's just like, oh, bummer. You got the best seat in the house, and even you thought it was, oh, my wife is in chat. AA is boring live. One of the first concerts I photographed, and the crowd was not feeling it. That's right. Was that the Papa Roach and Shinedown show with Asking Alexandria? If I'm correct, that's what it is. That was years ago. But that leads me to this next thing. Asking Alexandria is supposed to go on tour for Chevelle, supporting Chevelle this summer. So, what you see on screen right now, to everyone listening, if you're not watching, he is dressed like, Hayden Christensen in the third prequel as the Jedi before he becomes all evil. You know, it's just the black hood. Like, yeah. And a black robe. And that's it. He's just like,
That classic look where he.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's just like going to look over with just his eyes and that's it. Ugh.
I think it was like Reddit where I saw, but someone said like he looks like he's about to like rob a bank or something like that. And I can't disagree.
That'd be a reason. At least we would know why then, because this is a choice. Like, there's no way he walks around it all day like this every day. Not a chance.
No.
So something's going on at Asking Alexandria camp. We don't know what it is. So. Go ahead.
By the way, too, this is something I just kind of like noticed. It's not like this wouldn't be so bad on itself, but like I noticed that with the exception of the final episode at the very end, they didn't play anything pre the first time Danny left. Like everything was like every single yeah. song on the set list was stuff that they made after he rejoined
the Black, or like 2018 and after. Yeah.
2017 and after.
17, excuse me. They 17.
No, you're good. Yeah. But no, that's just like, I don't know, especially because it's Warped Tour. It's a legacy show. It's a legacy act for Warped Tour. Uh-huh. I would have thought they kind of like grab some of the older stuff. Granted, with Danny's vocals, I can't even confidently say he could even pull it off or anything like that. But anything off of like Reckless and Relentless or Death to Destiny. Love those two albums, by the way. Are very nostalgic for them. Like, I don't know.
I also
wish there was more of that stuff.
I also think it was odd, like the choices for closing out the return of Warped Tour. Avril asking Alexandria. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I love Avril, so.
That's fine. But I just think it's unique choices. Also, the Long Beach lineup is better. I'm still bitter about that. But whatever. Whatever. Totally different argument. Totally different argument.
I haven't seen Asking Alexandria since Danny rejoined. I saw them right when he rejoined. So like the first tour with Danny back with the band after the whole Dennis thing. And it sounded good. I have not seen any Asking Alexandria. And that was 9 years ago, so it's been a while since I've seen them. They sounded great back then.
Yeah,
he's like 30. I looked it up. He's 34. He's not that old.
No, he's not. Look,
I know people age differently too, but like people were comparing him to Vince Neil, and I'm like,
get out of here. They need to be sat down. They need to be sat down and talk about how bad Vince Neil's gotten. No, yikes.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Come on.
So, by the way. 34 years old, 1990, 34 years old. I didn't know that.
He is just 11 years older than me. His birthday is like mere days from mine. I'm just realizing that now.
I do think it's odd because like he's open about his struggles and bad like years, but like even before Asking Alexandria how he was drug use, he was homeless for a while, you know? So like he's been open about his struggles. So I'm not going to say like, because he has lived a hard life. But at the same time, when Asking Alexandria started that young and they're sounding and looking like they're beyond strung out, that's a problem, especially when they're given a big platform on a main stage on a return festival. I don't know.
Be honest.
If you party so hard.
Yeah.
The rest of the band was like performing. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
No, no. You're good. You're good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no real like, I don't want to say thoughts or opinions on Asking Alexandria since Ben left, but I really, really don't pay too much attention to them right now. I know that sounds kind of, you know, snotty. Yeah. I don't mean for it to. It's just the truth of the matter.
I'll be less polite than Alex is. The music during and after pandemic has kind of sucked. They've swung wild a little bit, gone very electronic and commercial core, if that makes sense. So
I've been the only person on our panel who defends Asking Alexandria whenever they come up, and that's just because I really liked their early albums. Those albums were very influential for me when introducing myself to metalcore, because like Death to Destiny just came out when I was getting into them.
But for like, many people,
but like even then too, and even to be honest, like watching the Warped Tour performance, the musicians performed fairly well in my opinion.
They were trying. No, you give them credit for trying, but like on screen right now, you see them and the crowd is just dead. Like they're not even moving.
It sucked. No, so, yeah, it's just like a thing. It just like I just felt kind of sad watching this because it just like it's like seeing something you grew up with and then just seeing it just kind of go downhill.
That right there on screen, if you both can see it, that is the perfect screenshot. Watching, again, you can't see his face. The camera's looking right into it too.
And it's not like he's wearing a mask or anything. It's just like it's just very wide.
You can't try this anonymous masked frontman thing when we already know who you are, Danny.
Oh, is that what he was trying to do? Was that like they were trying to cash in on that gimmick? Now I get it.
Yes, they're just hopping on the train.
I said it to you guys. I think he's trying to hide that he can't sing. Like, maybe. He may be embarrassed about his vocal capabilities right now.
We still know it's you under that hood.
Yeah, and like the British warble and that raspy voice, it's kind of hard to put that with someone else, you know? So, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
To add to the patheticness of it, again, with when he was performing House on Fire, he did this build-up where it's like, this song is about the government. And then like he started like jumping around. And I think before the music started playing, he started thrashing around. I think he missed his cue to start dancing because he started jumping around before the rest of the musicians started playing.
It's funny. That could happen to anyone, but I admit it's funny.
it didn't help. Yeah, it didn't help because when you do that and then you're going, it's like,
someone just said, yeah, who invited Kanye on stage in the chat? Who invited
it's not
the
just me?
Who also someone said, who invited the Grim Reaper on stage? Also, it was so gross out that day, too. I don't know what he was thinking, but that's what's going on in the Asking Alexandria camp. I hope they get it figured out before that Chevelle tour.
Honestly, with the fact that like that Bentley like had to respond on Twitter, which you never see from any artist.
That sucks. Yeah,
it's gotta. You gotta know that they were fed up.
Yes.
Like themselves. Yeah.
I hope they have it. I'm sure they've had a camp discussion at this point about what to do next. You know, I don't know what the next step is, but they have plans. You know, they have things coming up. So it's obvious sooner than later, something's got to give because he's not doing a tour like this. There's no way that's going to go well.
No, it would not.
He would get heckled. He would get heckled at some point. So
the label would get ties.
Asking Alexandria seriously again if this is the performance they give on a tour.
Yeah, yeah. Chevelle, super nice guys of rock for decades. Even they'd be like, you need to knock that off. Come on, Mr. Nice Pete Loafer. Going, come on now, Loeffler. His name is always a hard one to pronounce, but.
Yeah, we don't have as many super easy names in our world as we should.
No. Warsnop, you know, even that's not that easy. Yeah. All right. Well,
Ben Bruce for leaving the band with the easiest name.
Yes. Yeah. And then they just said, okay, bye. Poor Ben Bruce.
You know, by the way, Ben has only been out of the band for like a year. And then like you go from that to this. I think
that is a downturn. Yeah, that is a big downturn.
He saw that this was a stick of chip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's sitting at home going like with his guy like, whew, glad I'm not up there.
Yeah.
I made the right choice.
Yes. Oh man. Well, it worked out for one of them. We can't blame him now. Can we? Now we know he made a good decision. We now move on. Originally we thought about making this our main topic, but then all the news broke and all this other stuff happened. Muse is back. They released a new song, Unraveling. They got more stuff coming, they said. They're in touring Europe, and they headline Hellfest, where they covered Gojira Stranded as a bit of a tribute to France.
Let's go.
So, have you guys heard the new Muse song yet?
I watched I watched a snippet of it, but it was heavy and I loved it.
Yeah, so it's a buildup. Like, it starts electronic and slow, gets into the melody, then the last minute or two is heavy.
I watched an Instagram reel that went straight to that.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah. See, I'm fine with that. I am totally fine with Muse doing that. Muse has been on. Oh, how do I say this? Muse has gotten a lot of backlash for some of their albums over the past 10 years. It's not the same output as the 2000s, you know, and I'm a Muse fan. Have either of you seen them live?
I don't think so.
No,
I haven't either. All I've ever heard is good things, like that their live performance is always good. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. And I see people say song is decent. New Muse is not bad. It's good. Maybe not great, but it's good. Song suppressed me. Okay, that's fine, too. Here's the thing. A lot of Muse over the last 10 years has been rough and weird. So I'm fine with something like this. The question for my co-host, and I'll try to answer it myself because I still don't know. Does Muse still have it? Do you think they could still do something in 2025? Because they're going 25 years in now.
I'm really only familiar with like the first couple of albums, especially like Plug In Baby and Hysteria. Like those songs are really cool. I always really loved the bass. I always felt like they had just like really great instrumentals. And then when I listen to this, here's the thing. I've never been against a band evolving their sound or trying different genres. I feel like you ought to at least try different stuff, especially when you've been around so long. So if they're able to pull it off and they make a whole album or something with this sound, I am all for it. If it's good, I'll listen to it.
Okay.
That's all that matters to me.
Alex, your thoughts on Muse in 2025?
I haven't heard the new track yet, so I can't speak on that. Okay. But if they can pull them Twilight vibes and all of the hype around that nostalgia is hot right now, they can ride that wave big time.
It's true. And like Muse does the soundtrack stuff fairly well. I just, it's been a long time since we've had, like, felt like a complete album from Muse that I could say that was great. That's a me thing. That's personal. I think they still have it. Or let me rephrase. I still think they're capable of doing something. You know, I don't think the talent's gone, the writing creativity, the juice is gone, nothing like that. It's just more for me, it's like a wait and see. Like, I'll believe it when I see it right now, because they had some weird stuff in the 2010s. Like, their experimentation got to the point of just ridiculous and shenanigans. Even their most recent album before this, a couple years ago, before I left St. Louis, like, even that, like, I defended more than a lot of other people, but even that had some cringe in it, to put it lightly.
Some of the tracks that came off of the last time I was really attuned to what Muse was doing was probably 2015. Mm-hmm. And when they dropped Dead Inside, that one did get a good reaction. So okay. I don't know if they can kind of ride the nostalgia wave and, you know, pick up some of these trends that people have already gravitated towards with themselves.
It's true.
And also bring a new element. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, they are touring through Europe. They got big shows, like festival headliners through near the end of July.
So again, I like the breakdown that was in that in the reel that I watched. So if they're able to pull stuff like that and it's quality, like, yeah, sure. I'm all for it.
For those listening on the podcast on YouTube, if you want to leave comments, I'll pin it in the pinned comment tonight or tomorrow. Let us know what you think of the new Muse song. I am curious because, again, Muse is a big name. They just haven't had a big thing happen in quite a while. They're still headlining the massive festivals, so they have to be doing something. They still have that value, but yeah, it does feel like it's been a while. Does that make sense?
They're totally like a legacy act for sure. But like current, like, are we going to hype what they are working on right now? That's, I think, what we're kind of talking about, because they're totally a legacy act that can still fill these things.
Yes. Very fair.
Well, I think the idea, if this is a taste of what's to come. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And covering Gojira was a nice move. They've covered other bands. They've covered Deftones. They've covered Slipknot before. Covering Gojira at Hellfest is smart.
I watched that video where they covered Duality. I couldn't make it out. It felt like it sounded like a different song.
They get creative. They take a lot of liberties with it, but they still do it. I'm fine with that, you know. We have two quick things to talk about before we start wrapping things up with, like, this part of the section of the podcast. First off, we rarely get to talk about video game news, but we talked about Sleep Token just a little bit earlier. Death Stranding 2 is going to have Sleep Token in it. So there are going to be a lot of TikTok girlies going out to buy a PS5. Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, I definitely, like, shared this with you guys, but I don't think we ever talked it on the podcast. Like, not long after Even in Arcadia dropped, Kojima, like, himself posted a, like, an X post where he is, like, listening to Even Emergence. Arcadia on vinyl with wine or something. And, like, the internet freaked out.
Yep.
Because it's Kojima.
Even one of the Japanese video game legends is like, no, I have to stop work. Sleep Token has a new album out.
Kojima is like video game Jesus. Yes.
That actually is probably how it's seen. Yes. So,
yeah,
I did not play the first Death Stranding.
I watched my buddy play it in college, and I was just bored. He lore dumped, like, the entire story.
It's an exploration game. Like, you're exploring nonstop.
I'm probably going to get some hate here, but, like, it just seemed like a walking simulator. You're just going from point A to point B, delivering supplies and avoiding, space ghosts or something.
It's Norman Reedus of Walking Dead fame. He's the star of the first one. He's the star of the second one. So now you get to play as Norman Reedus while Sleep Token's playing. So
that is a dream, though.
Yeah, if that's your thing, there you go. And finally, that was the thing Rowan sent to us in group chat. We now go to the thing Alex sent to us in group chat. We're all big Live Aid fans for Queen's performance, and apparently that almost didn't happen. Alex, any thoughts that you'd like to share with us on what the heck happened here? Because it feels almost fake, but it is real.
I'm just gobsmacked that this was even a thought. So I got to pull it up and remember who's who. I don't want to throw the wrong person under the bus here.
Bob is the person that said no.
Bob said no. Okay, so we have Harvey. Bob. Okay. So the promoters were putting Live Aid together, and the main promoter, Harvey Goldsmith, was saying, basically, I want Queen to headline this 5:30 to 6 o'clock slot. And Bob, what is his last name? Geldof. Bob Geldof was like, no, I think Queen's peaked. I don't really want them as on Live Aid.
Uh-huh.
And just the fact that anybody could have uttered those words in 1985 is mind-blowing to me.
And I have something to add to that also. The big thing they were advertising on this one for Live Aid and Live Aid lore was the return of Led Zeppelin, who had not performed together for a while. And for those who know Live Aid, that Led Zeppelin performance was not good. Meanwhile, Queen was already on tour. They nailed it and saved Live Aid and made it a big spectacle.
So, there's a reason why the climax of Bohemian Rhapsody was Live Aid.
Yeah.
Yes. So, like, you say Live Aid. I don't think anybody, like, normal, you know, average Joe, could name another band that was on that lineup aside from Queen.
Yeah, it average was Joe, you would
go to Queen.
Yeah.
Average Queen. Yeah, average Joe. Yeah, yeah. That is literally, like, the moment that Live Aid lives on is the Queen performance. They only played six songs, but it was so iconic and so epic that we still talk about it today. And I do not think if Queen had not been on this lineup, we would still be talking about it. So Bob Geldof almost made the most epic flub up in his entire life.
Well done with the YouTube censoring, by the way. Well done. That's appreciated.
I work FCC. I got to keep myself in check all the time.
I just think Live Aid, how it ran for a couple days, and just that chunk of Queen not there. The fans, just the audience at Wembley and stuff would not have cared. It would have been rotten. Yeah. Like, I think about U2, who had a great performance there. They were still a big name and up and coming, relatively up and coming, not big up and coming. And Queen number one by a long shot also. So, yeah.
Well, and another crazy part about this all kind of coming to light right now is this might be, it's old news, whatever, 1985. So one thing that they were trying to push for, like the Queen camp was really pushing for, like, oh, we want to close out the show. Oh, we want to close out the night. We want the headlining slot. But the best part about all of this is Harry stuck to his guns and he's like, I need Queen during this, you know, 5 to 6 o'clock slot. I need them there. And Freddie was like, you know what? If I have the chance to perform to a billion people all at once, I'm going to show you guys that I can do it. And they did it. And it's amazing. And I'm so glad they did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that history played this out well. Not everything in that movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, was accurate at all. I made a whole video about that on YouTube. But
I was about to say, like, I remember, like, in the movie, I can't remember if it was Bob Geldof, but, like, Freddie was like, oh, why didn't you tell me about Live Aid? I would so want to play this.
They took a lot of liberties to make the drama and stuff happen to that, like, such as he didn't know he had AIDS before Live Aid, but in the movie, he had to break the news to him before for dramatic effects. Also, Bryan Singer is a terrible person. He's the one that directed it. It really stains that. But the Live Aid resequencing, like, with all of that, was great. It really was. So
that was awesome. They did great.
So think about that not being there either. You know?
Yeah. We wouldn't have had that entire movie.
For worse.
There we go. That was our up-to-date current news for Live Aid 1985. See, I actually wanted it, the reason I did this last, I wanted positive things at the end because there was a lot of junk and, like, unfortunate crap drama between bands and stuff. Daddy Warstop being a weirdo, just all that. I wanted to end some a little bit of positivity. So,
like it.
Yeah. Now,
like, we Daddy Warstop is, like, falling apart, really.
Looking at that screenshot right now, like, we can't tell because we can't see his face. So
I watched that whole performance. I think I saw his face, like, once. Like, somehow, like, the camera was angled just right.
Mm-hmm. We now move on. We're going to talk about some of the upcoming things in the world of rock metal alternative with upcoming tours and albums. Alex, what upcoming tours would you like to talk about this week?
We have a lot. So I'm going to go through, like, the top ones.
Sure.
We've got 6 Feet Under just announced Midnight in Hell tour with Exhorter, Wretched, and Insight. AFI just announced a fall 2025 U.S. headlining tour.
Okay.
We've got Thrice. They just announced a North American tour. In This Moment just announced a U.S. tour with Dayseeker, The Funeral Portrait, and Dead. Honestly, solid lineup across the board. That is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, current metalcore, yeah, whatever you want to call that.
That is a very octane metalcore tour, for sure.
Totally, totally. Cage the Elephant also announced a fall 2025 U.S. tour between The Buried and Me and Hail the Sun just announced a North American tour. Got Gwar. They just announced a North American tour with Helmet, Dwarves, and Blood Vulture. Okay. It's going to be fun.
That's some names, and, by the way.
I know. Queens of the Stone Age announced their Catacombs tour for North America. We've got Dragon Force expanding their North American tour plans. Pantrick is hitting the road this July. They're going to do 15 cities across the U.S. Fit for a King just announced a North American tour. And I think that's all the big ones.
Okay. Again, a lot of stuff got announced the last 3 days. It wasn't even like a full back to the week. It was like the last 3 days, a big barrage of them. So just if you're listening or you are curious on YouTube or on Spotify, Apple, whatever, just hit rewind a little bit. You'll get the replay that way. See how that works? Yeah. Don't have to worry about it either. Just hit rewind 30 seconds. Now we go to Rowan. What albums do we have coming out this June 27th?
First of all, I just want to say a quick shout out to Ellie Yeet, who said we got a Nazgul from Lord of the Rings singing for Asking Alexandria. That is so accurate.
Oh, don't ruin Lord of the Rings for me. No, that's not cool. No.
He looks like a Nazgul, though.
No, he doesn't.
I'm seeing it now. How did I not before?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, like, he's. Oh,
and I forgot to say, AC/DC's going back to Australia this year. It's awesome. Yay.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Anyway, upcoming albums. Here we go. We got some classic metal acts coming with Sodom and Venom. Sodom's coming with The Arsonist, and Venom are coming with Black and Priest. Mm. You know what? I got to get more into like both of their later albums. I'm kind of like, especially with like those like classic acts, I kind of like only stuck to the early stuff. Do you guys like keep up with like with those bands? With their
I try to keep up, but they like the discographies are so massive at this point for so many years. But it's always worth it to check out what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like I usually most of the time, especially with Venom, I kind of like stick to like the first two albums. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'm willing to like give this one a chance, maybe. We got Baby Metal coming with Metal Fourth. I am so excited. Like Baby Metal has just had a lot of features lately. Mm-hmm. A lot upcoming for this album with Poppy, Slaughter to Prevail, a bunch of other ones too. I've just always been like, they've just been like a fun listen to. I don't even speak Japanese, but it's just like one of those bands where it's like, I don't know what they're saying, but they just make it sound so fun.
Yes. They are fun.
Yeah.
Vibes are there.
And finally, this is a unique release, but one I am very excited about because this has been one of my favorite bands for years. Motorhead is releasing the Manticore tapes. And mm-hmm. for anyone not in the know, the Manticore tapes is the recordings of the first time the classic lineup. We're talking Lemmy, Fast Eddie Clark, and Filthy Animal Taylor have gathered to rehearse and record together at Manticore Studios. So this is like the first time the classic Motorhead lineup that you think when you think Motorhead,
yes,
first like performed together as a band, and it features tracks that you have never heard of before. So like you're getting new Motorhead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that's just like something I'm very excited about. I freaking love Motorhead. I love Lemmy is like the true face of rock and roll, in my opinion. Screw Elvis Presley. Yes, I said it, come at me. And
oh, that's not that big of a mistake, but like, that's not that bad.
Yeah. But
I'd win in a fight. Just kidding.
I'm just excited about it. And the chat is telling me that Baby Metal got delayed to August 8th. Well, Loudwire has to update.
Yeah, I was going to say, I keep seeing back and forth news about that, whether it's tomorrow or August 8th. Baby Metal's coming. We'll see about that. How's that sound?
And if not Loudwire, you got some work to do.
Yeah. So we shall see. Also, it's Alex's turn for Song of the Week. Alex, which it's the song that's on screen right now, if you'd like to talk about it for the song.
Yeah. So I love Starbenders. I became a huge fan after they released their most recent full length. So this track is supposedly like a tease of their forthcoming album, which we don't have any details on that yet. But I am super excited for a new full length album from Starbenders. So I hope it comes soon. The song is called Chantilly Boy, and it's super fun. It's the first release with their new drummer, and it sounds great. If you like super fun, like glam metal slash kind of a, you know, like a throwback classic glam metal type vibe. Look wise, sound wise, it's super fun. Definitely check out this song and Starbenders.
Very cool. That'll be in the pinned comment. It's in the description now. So I believe that's all the news we had. Did anyone else see any other super chats come in? I'm asking because I did not notice any, and I only saw the one. We did hit our like goal, if I'm correct. Let me double check that. Yes, we did. We hit the like goal. So we have two rounds of festivals. If you get super chats in now, we'll still do them. Again, YouTube Studio is still kind of having some issues on the back end. So that being said, Alex and Rowan, are you ready to book some festivals?
Yes. Ready.
Okay. Let's see what we can do. Every week, we tried to book some random festivals in the middle of nowhere on a game called Festival Rock or Flop. This is where we pull random bands out of a folder of over 200 images and see if we can actually make this nonsense work. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's hilarious, sometimes it's a nightmare.
We see if we can actually give people a reason to go visit Kansas or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's a good starting point. Lawrence, Kansas, you are up first with your first festival. That'll be this one. What are we naming this festival for Lawrence, Kansas? This is the one we're in today. Like our festival. What's a good suggestion?
I'm trying to, like, we had a lot of like band inner turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about Mister. Twister. Okay, we're Twister Fest. Okay.
I think that's a little bit sore for them because they have it like five times a year.
No, I was just going off of the vibes of what we've been talking about today. It's kind of a twister. It's a whirlwind. Whirlwind Fest. Whirlwind,
that actually has a good, like, Whirlwind Fest. You know what? That actually has a good ring to it. Okay. Whirlwind Fest. Here we go. Just so you know, I'm not cheating. Here's the folder. Here we go. Band number one.
Alexandria.
They're in here. For Whirlwind Fest.
I know.
Beartooth. Okay. Not a bad start. There we go. Number two, The Interrupters. We're going to a little ska flair. That's fine. Again, this is definitely a Lawrence, Kansas radio station festival so far. Number three, Lacuna Coil. I'm down with it. I'm happy. It's weird, the combination, but I'm happy. And number four, Kill Switch Engage.
Are we just booking Summer of Loud minus The Interrupters?
That's
half, I'm down.
Half of Summer of Loud took a little break to go to Lawrence, Kansas. Two of the bands. So you know what?
And not Lawrence Shore, but Lacuna Coil, like, you know, that's that seems like on brand with them too.
It would fit well. The Interrupters is the only odd one out, but still it's fine. I'm not gonna argue it. Alex,
that'll be my bathroom band.
You might dig it.
I love The Interrupters.
It's actually, I've seen them live. They actually are pretty fun. You might dig
They're really fun.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'll let you go to the bathroom if you really need to, but you have to give him at least a shot, Rowan.
He's doing the dance, like holding his plan. Oh, please.
Like, no,
please.
You wait.
I can't ska right now. I gotta go.
What's that even mean? Like, I can't ska?
You gotta ska, man.
Yeah.
You gotta ska.
Okay, I see a lot of guesses across the. Yeah, two-step. There you go. I can't two-step. I gotta go. I see yeses across the board, by the way. Whirlwind Fest is a success for Lawrence, Kansas. So we then go to Homeschooled Punk, Homeschool Fest, because that is a great name for a festival. I don't know. Where should we have Homeschool Fest? Where's a good place?
At home.
Well.
It's like a live stream concert.
Alabama.
Alabama. Okay. Dothan, Alabama, you are getting Homeschool Fest, where you might get a better education homeschooled than the Alabama school system. Yeah, that's right. There's my topical burn for all of you people out there in Alabama. Here we go.
No cream.
Dothan, Alabama with Homeschool Fest. Band number one, Dorothy. That actually kind of fits for Alabama. That Southern blues. That
would have been perfect for our Kansas Fest.
Kansas, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Dorothy. God.
You know, I can't control the... You already know I cannot control the random photo thing. Number two, Periphery. Interesting. I haven't heard from them in a while.
Yeah.
Number three, Five Finger Death Punch. Interesting.
It works.
Number four, Knuckle Puck. So we got Five Finger Death Punch, Knuckle Puck, Dorothy. It's a bit all over the place.
I gotta go. No, man, it's like I don't like Five Finger Death Punch, and I am barely familiar with like the other three bands.
Alex, how about you?
don't know. Like, I like digging into the original two, maybe three albums worth of Five Finger Death Punch if they're on the lineup already. Mm. I really like Dorothy.
You know they won't.
I think I'm going to skip this one. No, I don't know. Yeah, I'll go see Dorothy.
Well, it's a lock. It's like the old rec center lock in. Once you go in, you can't leave until the show's over.
What?
I should not move the goalpost. I'm sorry. I know that's not fair.
But I'm just saying, I'm not that familiar with their discography.
Wait, what was the second? What was the second band after Dorothy?
Periphery.
Periphery. And I like Periphery.
Yeah, but what do you got going on a Wednesday night in Alabama? Are you going to go see this show?
This is the only show in town. That's very fair for Dothan, Alabama. That is a Five Finger Death Punch headline show in Dothan as well, you know?
Oh, especially in Alabama, yeah. Five Finger Death Punch fans would be...
All those lifted trucks that don't need a lift, they're all pulling into the grass parking lot.
So much Monster Energy drink.
Yeah.
They have that stupid tattoo of the Monster logo where their chin is. Yeah. So it's the most redneck thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'm gonna pull a chat and say, if I have literally nothing else going on, I will go, I guess.
We have you know what? We haven't done this in a while. Would you go to a homeschool fest?
Oh, we're pulling, okay.
It's been a while. It usually takes too long, but we have a minute. You all have 1 minute in chat. Would you go to Homeschool Fest? Five Finger Death Punch, Periphery, Dorothy, Knuckle Puck. Boy, is that a weird combination, by the way. You're in Alabama, okay? You have to put your mindset in that, too. You don't have to travel that far. You don't have to fly anywhere.
You have nothing going on tomorrow morning.
You caught Knuckle Puck at Warped Tour. How were they live?
They were fine. They were fun. They had good energy. Were fine.
Dang, it's closer than I thought.
Yeah. I think they're in the same ballpark. Where it was like, it's not the worst. It really is not the worst. Let's be honest with that. It's not.
Yeah.
Nothing I'm really excited about. Nothing that's
that's also true.
Giddy to go.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't drive multiple hours for this show. Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah. Well, sweeten the deal. This is a charity show. Some of the proceeds go to charity.
So is it now where it's like, okay, if I go to this, I'm supporting charity?
Yes, just in general, charity. No actual charity, just charity.
Okay, if it's for charity and I've got nothing else going on, okay, I will be there.
It's been over 60 seconds.
I have now legally changed my name to Charity, so...
Nice. You just write the check out to me, one name.
Yeah, you just give me a big bag of money. This is the revenue.
Okay, results. 56% say no. Homeschool Fest. The homeschool budget just could not pull through to get better bands, unfortunately. Sorry, Dothan, Alabama, for a lot of reasons, but also for this festival. Sorry. Easy joke is easy. I apologize. I should stop while I'm ahead. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. We really do appreciate it. Before I give some time to my co-host here, right now, the video is being edited for my next video that's been requested for quite a while. 10 shocking confessions from Rockstar Autobiographies. Some are really fun and heartwarming with a good attitude. Some are the exact cheese and chaos you would imagine. Some will make you think less of the people involved and you will never want to listen to them again. Yep. It's that bad.
I have a fair idea of some of the people.
You might have an idea of who. I don't want to, because I'm truly worried about this video getting demonetized just because some of the topics I put in the beginning trigger warnings and spoilers for days, everybody. It's rough, but I know I can get it through YouTube. If they push it through, they might demonetize it, but they'll put it back on. Yeah, the last two entries are brutal and I saved it for the end just because so that way people can skip it if they need to. So that's coming next week. Alex, anything you would like to send a message for?
All good here.
Rowan, how about you?
Fun fact, we were talking about brothers earlier. Today, chat of the day of this recording is my brother's 21st birthday, actually. And I just came back from celebrating it with him. So, you know what? Even though my brother does not listen to anyone heavier than Green Day, I don't know, maybe just wish him a happy birthday. Like,
Happy birthday. And Green Day's fine. Green Day's fine.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Rowan, I was raised on Barbra Streisand by my mother. That's all I got to listen to until I was like 9. So you know what? Your brother's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying my brother does not. My brother is not involved at all with music.
Fair enough. So thank you all again. Hope you all are doing well. We'll be back next week. Hopefully we have more positive stories, not inner band turmoil, not festival security shenanigans, no deaths, just something positive. We're hoping next week we're going to put it out there into the universe. Good things to talk about. Finally, Alex, last week you had a bit of a flatliner joke. We weren't really sure what to make of it. What do we have this week to close out for your joke of the week?
They're dad jokes. They're not all going to be zingers. We know this.
Okay, fair.
Okay, okay. Never thought orthopedic shoes would really work for me. I stand corrected.
It did get me. Yes. It was dumb. But it was a wholesomeness to it. It's like, okay, I can't be mad at that one.
By the way, chat, I saw, it showed up on my Instagram feed. Alex made a post where it was a dad joke. And I'm like, damn it, they're now on my feed. They're spreading.
Reminder, if you're on Blue Sky, if you're on Blue Sky, we're all three of us are on Blue Sky. You can add us with dad jokes all you want.
I keep them coming, so...
Oh, we got shoes and socks now in the chat.
I needed some new shoes. I was hoping people would throw shoes at me.
Someone threw a strawberry, a bumblebee, a crab, and a skull. Someone threw a potato.
Potato.
Okay. We get your carbs in. All right.
You're getting some compliments on this one, by the way. You are actually, it was still funny. Golf clap. You actually are getting a polite response for this one. So you know what? You're back on track. You're back on the winning track for this.
I can't get a read on that.
I was worried.
Yeah, you know what? You're back on track for getting the positive jokes out there. I haven't heard that one before, so that's good. Huh. There you go. So, Ruffle Drum 6C, you're getting the positivity now.
Yay!
There you go. The Ruffle Drum rim shot. I'm assuming that's what that is.
Call me daddy.
That was a good one.
Don't ever say that again.
What? Why? How did that add up to anything?
Rowan knows.
Joke daddy? Rowan knows? What? What is going on this podcast on my channel?
Sorry.
That was a good one. Okay, someone's handed out ice cream. It's hot out. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week. We'll be back next week with hopefully a little less chaos and shenanigans at the end. Sorry, everybody. I apparently thought I try to be professional, but sometimes I get caught off guard. That's all it is. Someone said Foghorn. I'm stalling because I can't find the ending screen. What the heck is it? OBS updates every now and then. OBS does stuff. There we go. Someone threw ducks, by the way. I don't know why. Quack, quack. But
why not? I'll take it.
Thank you so much.
Ducks. All right.
Yeah. Oh, geese.
Geese.
That's a lot of geese. So thank you, everybody. We'll be back next week. Hope you're all doing well. Stay out of the stank heat. Ugh.